Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello, Deborah.
Hello, Alex.
And hello, Tom.
Hi there.
So I'm Alex, as you know. And are we podcasting?
We are, yes. I've been podcasting for a while. This is your first opportunity. Deborah, of course, is the podcast queen.
Oh, let's not exaggerate. Empress. So as you, more appropriate.
As you know, here I am, not exactly kicking and screaming, but I like talking in rooms with people, and today we're doing that, which is great. I want to really talk about what it means to talk together, and I thought a great way of kicking off would just be for us to talk about the first conversation we ever had. And I wonder if you can even remember it.
Oh, I can. I can remember it really well.
I can remember the occasion, certainly. Do you remember the first conversation?
Yes.
Go for it.
So we were doing a comedy improvisation show. By we, I mean Tom and me, with our comedy improv group, The Spontaneity Shop, as the origin of the name. And Alex had just graduated from Oxford and turned up. Well, actually, I think he'd graduated from Oxford and then Bristol Old Vic Drama School.
That's right.
And he turned up, watched the show, and clearly had enjoyed the show and not just slunk off into the night thinking, I don't want anything to do with these guys. But I think maybe... He must have been on form. Yeah, I think maybe he'd heard that we were good at improvising or had an improvisation company he might be interested in joining. And he approached us afterwards in the pub downstairs. It was the Canal Cafe in London.
Yeah, it was.
And we were talking to a man called Piers Tordae, who is now a children's author, but at that time was running The Pleasance, a venue in Edinburgh, a very famous venue in Edinburgh. And so we were trying to get a slot from him. Piers and Alex had been to Oxford University together. And so when Alex came over with his CV saying, I'm very interested in joining your group or learning improvisation from you and being involved in this outfit... he said, oh, hello, Piers. And they said, oh, remember the days. And we thought, well, we definitely want Piers to like us because we need a slot at the Edinburgh Festival. And so we must, of course, include this old drinking buddy of Piers's.
And see, I don't think I'd even put all that together at the time. Obviously, I've heard the story since, but I'm pretty sure that when I was first introduced to Alex, I thought you'd come with Piers.
Yeah.
And you were also somebody important from a big Edinburgh venue that I needed to impress and be specially nice to.
Yeah.
Well, I often, if it's not too rude of me to say, pick up on the finer details of the relationships between people.
That is not inaccurate. No.
So I assessed very quickly what was going on here. And it was the fact that Alex had his literal CV in his hand.
That was a clue.
That was a clue.
Yeah,
that I was
true.
Like, this guy really wants to be part of us. Now, I thought that made us look good because if one of Piers's friends is sitting there going, I'd love to be in this group. Could you teach me what you know? Could you include me in the shows? Then clearly this is a show worth taking to the Edinburgh Festival. Now, listeners, I need to tell you that we were not offered a slot from Piers Tordae.
Now, Which I blame you for, Alex.
Yeah, I take all the hit. Then.
Yeah, Piers is doing very well. I went to see a play of his a couple of Christmases ago. But he did not offer us a slot, despite the clear old school Thai bonding that was going
on.
But we did end up with the wonderful Alex McLaren in our lives.
What was your take on joining us that night? Tell us the story from your point of view.
So, well, I love this. This is a little bit like when you hear husbands and wives talk about their own perspectives
yes.
on how they met, and I feel it's very like that. So I did bring my CV to an improvisation show, and I'd never heard of you, and I didn't know your names. I don't think I contacted you in advance because
I don't
even think I had an email address at the time.
Up to the show?
No. I needed a good reason to meet up with somebody who I'd been going out with, and I wanted to give her her clothes back. And so she and I met and went to the theatre together.
Oh, this was an ex-girlfriend?
Yeah.
And you had a bag of things that of she'd left in your flat?
But the point is...
I had no idea about this. Tell me more.
And now that you mention it, I remember that Piers was there. I'm so sorry, Piers. But I also remember... Now, am I wrong about this? Wasn't Henrietta Finch there as well, who is now a very famous producer who runs the Donmar Warehouse?
Ooh, maybe. What was Henrietta doing there? Was she working for the Pleasants at the time?
She was agenting, and she's a pal of... she was working for Mark Berlin, who did end up being your agent, I remember.
Oh, my God, yes!
So
she introduced us to Mark Berlin and got us... That our first agent?
I think so. That may be the connection. So I'm going to have to check with Henny now. but weirdly, that was the connection because I know Henny better than I know Piers, although we were all at college together. And I did take my CV because I just read a book about improvisation, and one of the formats in it was guerrilla theatre for Keith Johnston, and your show Guerrilla Theatre was in Time Out. And I think one reason why I got excited about your show. Now, unusually, I think, I then subsequently discovered you weren't hosting it, Deborah. Philippa Waller was. You were playing.
I think we pretty much took it in turns, actually.
That might have been.
I think it was shared out pretty evenly.
Okay.
Before we started doing the Dream Date format.
The Dream Date format.
And then that Dream Date, it was then you and me hosting, and then it pretty quickly became you hosting, Deborah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then that's when I wanted to transition into stand-up, because I realised I like talking to the audience more than I like to pretending to be characters. And I just got to the point where I was like, it seems undignified when you're out of your 20s to be pretending to be a 12-year-old boy or a dog.
Well,
I just was like, no. I'm aging out of this silliness, but I love talking to the audience, and I loved that lively feel, and that's when I decided I wanted to be a comic.
Well, this is very much an origin myth for everybody. But also, particularly for what we're talking about today, because I remember the show, and I remember it, and this is not by any means a criticism. It was not slick. And I'd seen at the time
that
I was doing...
deliberate.
Absolutely. No, I know it was. And I remember seeing
carefully
actors.
Cultivated lack of slickness.
Yeah, but so often when I was seeing improv shows, I think I was seeing really actually just marginal variations within a very, very slick format. And so I didn't really see people taking the risk of going out and not really knowing what choices they were about to make. It was actually very well
that's
it was
making
fixed.
You miss improv now.
Yeah, no,
how
happy
much?
Days. But that vulnerability.
I mean, a little bit, you know. That moment of not going out and really not knowing.
But I don't think you miss that, because I think actually part of what makes performers exciting to watch is that they are doing something new live. And so that was what was exciting to me, and why not only did I want to be in the show with the performers, I wanted to get to know you. And so it's almost like I met you before I sat down and had a conversation with you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that performers will often experience, is that people know them before they know the people.
And why was it important that Philippa Waller was hosting? Philippa Waller, by the way, who also now works in
great genius,
and has a 40
human being.
40 human being.
Yeah.
Why was it important for you to remember that?
Well, because... Now I've worked with you two for 20 years, and I feel like it's me and you two and our gang. And in fact, I suppose maybe the first people I saw were Philippa, Chris Harvey-John. Hello, Chris. People like
Gary Turner,
all those other performers as well. But I suppose the tone was set by you two because it was your show. And so that openness and that vulnerability was really, really important. And I think it's something that happens when people connect with friends. And so you do not need to be a performer or a comedian in order for those dimensions to really feature in the way you communicate with others and the way they communicate with you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com.
That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And you quickly became a huge asset to us, both as a performing company, and then also because we were doing a lot of teaching. And teaching is something which some people who are brilliant practitioners can also do, and it's something that some brilliant practitioners struggle with. I've often said I think it's very difficult to be taught by a genius, because typically geniuses have no empathy. They can't understand why it's not just as easy for you as it is for them.
PE teachers.
Maths teachers.
Well, PE teachers were always good at sport at school, and that's why they became PE teachers, but they don't understand children who are uncoordinated, who are not fast at running, and who don't enjoy it. And so they tend to get rather cross and think you're not making an effort. When, in my case, well, I wasn't making an effort, but that's because I hated it and was no good at anything. So I think that that's right, that sometimes if you have to learn something by rote, you're a better teacher.
But you, Alex, actually, I think, took to improvisation very easily, at least from my perspective, as somebody helping you through that, but also immediately became very, very good at conceptualizing it for other people.
Well, that's interesting. I think the reason why it came relatively quickly to me, and certainly not completely, is that so much of Keith Johnson's approach, which was the school we were all schooled in and via Patty Stiles, is that it actually faces the fear. And I am interested in how taking fear away makes people better at things, makes them able to be their authentic selves. And yet we can't live in a world in which that is entirely taken from us. At least that's not yet happened to me. There's always something. And we often have to function in our working lives, or we have to, in which we're under pressure and we're dealing with anxieties and we're dealing with targets we've got to hit, and maybe even people with whom we don't have the strongest kind of relationship. Maybe we are given tasks to do in terms of connecting with people, which aren't, we wouldn't necessarily choose for fun. But that is something we all have to tangle with. And I think that at work particularly, there is fear which is invisible because it's so universal. And so I'm really interested in actually at the moment looking at the intricacies of it all, because we've had some time now where we haven't been able to be together and talk about the kind of the challenges that we face in communicating. And I think in that time I've really been missing it and thinking about what it is that I miss, and also noticing which dimensions of my own instinct, experience, and talent are actually transferable into other formats, like the Zoom work we're doing, which we've been getting sort of, you know, very, very positive responses from. And I'm interested in actually asking more intricate, detailed questions than we have time to in our everyday training sessions, when we're actually tackling clients' problems, specific challenges, rather than actually looking at the problems behind those challenges.
So I haven't looked at any of your prep, Alex, and I know you've been thinking about this quite deeply. Can you give me some kind of insight into things we might be discussing in future episodes? Because I'll be one of the discussers.
Yeah.
So I'm very intrigued. I mean, in some ways, I want it to be a surprise. Yeah. But in some ways, I'd like...
Like Christmas.
In some ways, I'd like to know what's... Just the shape and feel of, you know, when you feel your presence just before Christmas when you're a kid, you go, could that be a PlayStation? Is this the shape of the new dress that I wanted or whatever it is? So could you give me, could you let me feel your presence?
Absolutely. I feel away. It's going to be short. We're thinking something about 25, 30 minutes. And what we're going to do is each week we'll look at just one question about the nature of communicating and talking to other people. So it might be about making a first impression, first time you meet somebody, and our feelings around that.
You never get a second chance to make a first impression.
So it seems. We'll be talking about what happens when we go too far, when we cross a line and we feel like, oh no, we only realize afterwards that we socially screwed up. What can we do about that? As well as what can we do to anticipate that challenge? I want to look at the the different kinds of people that we engage with and which kind of person we are. I'm interested in introversion as well as extroversion, and I'm interested in exploring what that concept means and what it means for when we're communicating with others.
And I want to look as well at what happens in different environments. Why is it that some people, if you put them on a stage in a big venue, some people absolutely come alive and other people, the majority, I would say, of people diminish and they are a bit overawed by the experience and they can't do their best. They're much more effective one-on-one. Why some people actively prefer Zoom interactions to being physically present with people and other people feel almost like they're having to juggle with one hand behind their back.
And can I add to that? I'd love to hear from some different guests because some of my closest friends, because I'm a stand-up comedian, are extremely introverted stand-up comics who, if you put them on the stage at the London Palladium or even the O2, they will have the time of their lives communicating with thousands of people at once. Then you try and chat to them in the bar and they're looking at their shoes, they're awkward, and you try and say, that was a fantastic set. Oh, no, don't. They love the applause, but they don't want you to look them in the eye and tell them you're a great comedian.
What's that about? Well, it's absolutely fascinating. I mean, and in fact, it's interesting to me because one actually thing which is interesting is how do we communicate with people that we do know as well as people we don't? And I want to explore the fact that I'm basically a kind of, somebody recently said to me, I don't switch on until I'm in a room with people. And that's true. But my partner Zoe's not like that at all. She likes company and she's great company, but it uses her up in a different kind of way. So she would probably put it that she's an introvert and I'm an extrovert. And I find that exciting that we're people who can be so different from each other, can want to be with each other more than anybody else on earth. And that is part of what we want to explore, variety.
Similarly, I get my energy from other people and that's how I recharge my batteries. And then I need some time alone to process that. Tom absolutely can only be on charge if he's alone. Maybe if I'm there, that's fine. But he doesn't have to talk. He doesn't have to be on.
Yeah, I'm the Zoe.
No, it's true. I remember.
But you're good with people, Tom.
Yes.
But you're good at a dinner party. But at one of those free form parties where you just have to wander around talking to people with a drink, Tom will last half an hour. And then go, once, Alex, this is true, I had to. You know what I'm going to say, Tom.
Yes.
We went to a friend's wedding and the music was extremely loud. He was very fond of the bride and groom but didn't know anyone else.
I was not having a good time.
And after a while, he said, do you know, I'm really not coping at all. I'm just going to have to go. I've said my pleasantries to the bride and groom. I've wished them well. I'm not enjoying talking to other people here and the music's really too loud. And I said, you can't go. You've only just got here. And he said, I'm going to have to. I said, right, okay, don't say goodbye. I will just pretend you're here and I'll cover for you. And every time the bride, who absolutely loves Tom, and she calls him Tom Lumbo because it's a running joke about Columbo, every time she came by in the dancing or whatever and said, where's Tom Lumbo? And I'd go, oh, he's just over there. I'd point to another man with dark hair. And she'd go, oh, I must go over and say hello. And then, of course, she'd get waylaid because she was the bride. A couple of times I said he'd gone outside with the smokers because he needed fresh air, which it was freezing cold. It was snowing. It was actually snowing. He didn't. But every time I just would point in a direction, go, there he is. And then, I maintained that Tom was there for hours. I left at 11 and said, oh, I think Tom's just gone ahead of me to the station to just make sure.
Which I had by 2.5 hours.
Yes, indeed. But that is, I have had to cover for Tom because I didn't want the bride to get hurt feelings. No. I have since, because that bride is no longer married to that groom, I have since felt it was okay one night after we'd had a few drinks to reveal this to her.
To
she thought it was
it.
Absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
But that's what I found fascinating about this, that somebody will look at someone like you, Alex, and they'll see you very socially adept, very confident, and they won't know what is the situation that is your kryptonite that will push your buttons. And I think some people often say the same thing about me. It was interesting when I had a brief flirtation with doing close-up magic, that an anxiety and nervousness that I hadn't experienced for years suddenly came back.
Yes.
Because when I'm on stage, whether it's talking at a conference or doing an improv show or anything like that, I'm on very familiar ground. But when you're doing a magic trick, you'll either do it right and it will be successfully fooling, or you'll screw it up and everyone will see straight through you.
Yes.
And that put a lot of extra tension and my hands were literally trembling as a result.
Yeah, it's funny. I get very anxious when there's no, when I need to almost extract myself from the performance. So reading in church at funerals makes my knees knock because that's not a time for grandstanding. Except in some cases, it all depends on who's in the box.
But if I die, I want you to grandstand away, Alex.
I want you.
A big performance.
If you die. It's in doubt. Of course.
Okay. All right. If I die before you, Alex, and you are able to attend the funeral.
Yeah. Well, even if I go first, I promise I'll be there to read at your funeral.
Okay. That's worrying. That's scary.
No, it's funny. But what Tom's saying about what goes on behind a confident front is really important because I cannot speak for everybody. But so many times when you talk to people who seem powerful, they don't feel powerful. When you talk to somebody who makes it look easy, it doesn't feel easy. They're actually incredibly busy inside. And so there are, I think that sharing of different perspectives on this is really important. When I say you can talk to anyone, I think that's true. But it doesn't necessarily mean it needs to be the same way for everybody. So I'm not fixing broken people. I'm really interested in what it is that makes it possible for people to connect with each other. And I believe it's possible for everybody.
I'm really looking forward to this podcast. This is one of those podcasts that I'm helping to make because I want to listen to it.
Good. It's going to be fun. Well, there'll be once a week. Please come and check in and engage as much as you can. Thank you very much, guys. Coming to play.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to delving into this subject more. And also, strangely, I think I might be going to learn more about both one of my oldest friends and work colleagues and my husband, the producer of The Guilty Feminist. I mean, I've already learned things from this conversation.
There is no doubt you will. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
See you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.